Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now, though, of all the things that could have united millennials and Gen Zs, yes, that's right, Gen Z, Gen Z, whatever you want to call them, apparently we're all against each other. But we were united last week because someone wrote a hit piece about the animated movie Shrek. And I don't mean hit piece as in it was very successful. I mean, they went for it. They went for Shrek and people were not having it. And it turns out that, yes, adults can be unified over cartoons. And in fact, there are lots of cartoons who are made just for us. Certified adult cartoon lover and author Sarah Griffin is joining us today to tell us about some of the animated offerings that should appeal to an adult eye. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Louise. How are you? I'm delighted to be on talking about this. This is fantastic.
I feel like we always get you on. The things that we get you on to talk about are very Sarah. So I'm very happy that you're happy.
Excellent.
So I've watched The Simpsons. I watched a bit of King of the Hill. I guess I dipped into Daria. But like I'm not well versed in the world of cartoons at all. When did you get into them?
I feel like I never stopped being into them is the thing. You know, like cartoons are largely made for children, marketed towards children, tell stories that are geared mostly towards children with an odd couple of jokes, perhaps for the parents who are kind of knocking around. But I, as a teenager, I kept watching things. I kept watching Daria, Futurama, King of the Hill, and they never sort of went away from the things that I watched. I like them less because the stories are simple, because they never are, and more because I find them very interesting to look at. Mm. I like that cartoons have a deliberate kind of visual element that is interesting and often very surprising, whereas, you know, real life shot sitcoms are just what we see, whereas with animation there's an expression in how it looks as well as how it's written, if you know what I mean. So that's really what kept me going. I watched a lot of really beautiful animated films through college. I got very much into Studio Ghibli's work. They're the Japanese studio who did Spirited Away and My Neighbor Totoro and things like that. And as I grew up, so did cartoons. People who are our age, millennials, who would have been born and raised where watching cartoons, started to make cartoons. So the ones that you see coming out now, made by artists and writers and creators who are in their 30s, are about things that are to do with being in your 30s.
Yeah.
So there's a wave happening, I feel, and it's a really wonderful one to be in.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think I just disengaged and like didn't really pay attention. And what would you say to people who like sell them to us? Like people like me, you know, who maybe don't quite haven't clicked in or like clicked out and have struggled to click back in.
So my biggest pitch on giving watching animations and cartoons a shot is that generally the episodes are about 10 minutes long. So if you don't like it, you really haven't wasted that much time.
Mm.
That's something that I often say to people. Well, you know, if this isn't for you, you're not going to burn 40 minutes or 2 hours in the way that you would with a film. I would also say that with the huge mainstream success of things like Marvel films and the great sort of superhero industrial complex that we're going through, I believe that people like more adventure-oriented stories than they think. Mm. I think people's imagination is bigger than they think. I think that there's stories being told in cartoons that wouldn't be that far away from the ones they might go to see in the cinema. So I would say that they have more to offer than people would guess. And to not let the animation turn you off, rather let it pull you in.
Okay. Well, let's get some recommendations then. You have Bob's Burgers here, and that is something that I've heard so many people raving about. Oh. So tell us a little bit about that.
It's so good natured, Louise. It's about, it's not dissimilarly to The Simpsons. It's about a family, a working class family who work in a burger joint in a town that looks very much like San Francisco. And they work by the seaside. And it's just about the ins and outs of the family. There's 3 kids, 2 grown-ups, and they all like each other, which I feel like is very tonally kind of different from The Simpsons, which is kind of like, there's a very hostile, kind of stressful vibe in The Simpsons, I find. Whereas in Bob's Burgers, the jokes are never grounded in people calling each other names. Say like with Family Guy, which is deeply hostile. Bob's Burgers is about a family who really like each other, but terrible things seem to keep happening.
Okay.
And they navigate through them as best they can. It's very heartwarming, very good-natured, but definitely not without an edge either.
Okay. Tell me more. What else should I be watching?
I would recommend, especially for you, Louise, I think you'd really like Tuca and Birdie. It's about two women in their 30s who live together in a city, and they are very, very different. One is very organized and one is very type A, and one is very much going through her party years still. And it's about their friendship and the difference between the straight-laced and the not so straight-laced. Both of them are birds, to be fair.
Okay. I was gonna say, I was like, are they just people? No, they're birds. Okay.
No, they're birds. They're birds. So they are. And so is everyone else okay. in their world.
Right.
So it is only not just like Broad City by virtue of the fact that they are birds and some of their friends are plants. And the visual element of it, literally plants who live in an apartment down the hall. So the visual element, I think, is sort of, it's helpful to the tone of the story they're telling. Tuca and Birdie gets really tough at moments. It's about relationships and about making decisions to settle down, and it's got a lot of nuance. And the visual style is exciting and surreal and different, but it's very human for a show about a couple of birds.
And where can you find Tuca and Birdie?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I believe they're being brought back as well. They went like animation, like many other shows, kind of runs on audiences, and shows like BoJack Horseman ran for 6 years, which is a really long time. Whereas if a show doesn't hit very hard when it lands, it might not appear again. But I believe there'll be a return for a second season. Tuca and Birdie episodes are very short, so it's worth giving them a watch
okay.
if you like Broad City.
I am going to do that. One show you mentioned there, BoJack Horseman, I did give that a go, and that is very funny, BoJack Horseman. And again,
it
like
is.
You mentioned there that Tuca and Birdie gets into some stuff, and BoJack Horseman does as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, BoJack Horseman is absolutely about a depressed, washed-up former sitcom actor living in Hollywood trying to reboot his career. He's a horse. But the subject matter is, and his best friend is a giant golden retriever, or his rival best friend is a golden retriever. There's a silliness that cuts the incredibly, incredibly heavy subject matter that BoJack Horseman goes through. It is about depression, it is about drugs and addiction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But within this visual landscape of horses and cats, and there are humans in it too, but it looks different, but it's very real.
Yeah, that's interesting. So because of the kind of animated aspect and the, I suppose, the surreal factor of the fact that the main character is a horse, it kind of takes the edge off maybe some of the stuff that might be too kind of difficult to stomach if it was live action.
Definitely. It allows, I think it disarms audiences.
Yeah.
So it allows stories to be told in a different way. And like I said, because animation is a visual art style, everything that happens on the screen is considered, you know. It allows for often a really interesting cinematography. It allows for really different humor. It allows for a different kind of surprise. And it allows stories to be told in a way that kind of, it's pretty hard to bum people out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen. It definitely can. I find BoJack Horseman very hard going, but not because it's a cartoon, because it's actually kind of a sad story.
Yeah,
you know, it can be both.
Yeah. Tell me about Gravity Falls, because I've seen people talking about this, but again, I know nothing.
I loved Gravity Falls when it came out a couple of years ago. It's a Disney Channel show. It's one of those ones that sits on that lovely line between being for younger people and being for adults. It's something that I watched of my own volition as an adult and was really moved by. It's definitely got silliness in it, but it's got a huge heart. It's a mystery story. It's about a pair of twins who for a summer go to stay with their great uncle Stan in his roadside attraction, the Mystery Shack, in a forest in what looks to be Oregon, like that sort of Pacific Northwest American background where a lot of great mystery shows like Twin Peaks or The X-Files kind of are set. And it's about them unearthing the mysteries of the forest and the town that they're staying in. And it's a really lovely coming of age story. Lots of cartoons about growing up that are made now are definitely made by people who have just grown up. So there is a lovely emotional depth to them, I find.
Yeah, that's interesting, I suppose, because like your perspective on growing up does change so much. Like I remember in my kind of early 20s thinking, oh, I'll never lose kind of contact or lose the understanding of what it feels like to be in my teens or to be this age. But then as I get older, it does become more difficult. And I do find myself looking at like teenagers and thinking, well, I mean, you're a different species. I don't understand you. And I find that's actually, you know, it kind of breaks my inner teen's heart. But you kind of can't help it, can you?
No, time goes by and the chasm opens up. And I find the stories, for example, I really like Hilda. It's about a young, that's on Netflix as well. And that's about a little girl who lives with her mom, who's a single mom, and who she moves from the country to the city. And she can see things in the world that people can't see. She can see trolls and different sort of spirits. It's a lot of it is based on Nordic storytelling. So the fairy tales are very different. Mm. And it's definitely about being a kid in school, but it's also about living with a single mom and trying to make friends with your parents. And it's very emotionally nuanced. And I find that going through these, I mean, I write for young adults, and I find that going through these stories helps me stay connected to where I've just come from, instead of allowing that chasm to open up and keep my gaze focused on being an adult and going into the distance. You know, I think it keeps me grounded a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's great. I think, I think as like as a parent, when you say that, I'm thinking, I don't want to get to the point where I can't. I just desperately want to understand where my kids are coming from, you know, as they grow up. And I can feel myself just getting old and crotchety and like filled with sand. And I don't want that to happen. OK, before I let you go, give me one or two ones that you feel like if you could get people to watch one thing today, what would it be?
I would say if you have an hour and a half or 2 hours, watch Over the Garden Wall. It's a 10-part miniseries, 10 11-minute episodes. So if you don't like it, you've only wasted 11 minutes. There's my gambit, which is about two brothers who are lost in the forest, a younger brother and an older brother. The older brother is voiced by Elijah Wood. So you'll find the sound of him familiar. And it's probably one of the most astounding stories I've ever seen told. It's very beautiful. Nothing is wasted. Every single minute that you see is in service of a really interesting story. There are some great songs. It's a lovely piece of television. And I feel like the more I tell you about the story, other than they're lost in the forest, the more I would spoil. But I would put that in front of anybody. And for something more experimental, and maybe for listeners who are kind of rolling their eyes going, this is kid stuff, Midnight Gospel is a deeply surreal project from a man called Pendleton Ward, who was the creator of Adventure Time, right? So he has serious credentials in the animation world. It features a podcaster called Duncan Trussell, who interviews people about different aspects of life. The script is like the way we're talking, Louise.
Yeah.
But the animation is done over that conversation. So the animation corresponds with the conversation that's happening between these two people. Yeah. In the last episode, for example, Duncan interviews his mother. It's very beautiful. It's absolutely not for kids, but it's something that really had a profound impact on me in terms of what animation could do with the kinds of stories we tell today.
Where can people find Midnight Gospel?
Midnight Gospel's on Netflix.
Netflix.
It's they're all there.
And Over the Garden Wall, Netflix as well?
I feel like you might have to look a little further for Over the Garden Wall. It might be on Amazon.
Do a little bit of digging.
It's there. Yeah, it's there.
Appropriately do a bit of digging for Over the Garden Wall. Thank you so much, Sarah Griffin, for telling us about that. Sarah, is there anything you would like to plug? Is there anything you have coming up? Anything you'd like to tell us about?
I have no news that I can reveal at this exact moment, but hopefully soon I'll be able to tell you some stories. But if you're interested, you can find me on Instagram at Sarah Grifsky and on Twitter at Grifsky. Thanks so much, Louise.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Sarah. Have a great one.
Bye.
Bye. Louise McSherry on 2FM.